Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, I thank you for the safety that we've all experienced getting here. We pray for those that are still traveling. Lord Jesus, we pray protection upon them. We pray for peace to be upon their vehicles. We also pray for those that are sick and not able to be here today, Lord. So many ailments going around this area, as well as across the nation, Lord God. We do just pray that your presence would be felt no matter where they are. Pray that they can feel your presence this day.
Thank you.
Knowing that today is Sunday, the first day of the week, the day set aside for you, Lord Jesus. And that's what we choose to do. That's what we are worshiping you this day. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Praise you for your love. Praise you for the sound mind. Lord, we pray that you inhabit the praises of your people this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's an honor to have my family up here with me today. My mother, Joy Weaver, is the piano player here. My father, Earl, is in the back. And I've got my mother-in-law, Jerry Canna, is here today, joining us today. It's a pleasure. And, of course, our girls and Tate back here.
Where's Tate? Come on up.
It's kind of the... Together we're going to be worshiping the Lord. He's our mascot of the family, that's for sure. But that's right.
He forgot his guitar, maybe next week.
Well, we just want to worship as if we are in our living room, knowing that no one is really judging us, how we're doing it, how we're singing. Too loud, not loud enough. We're just worshiping the Lord this day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead, Mom.
My turn. Everybody say amen. You know, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And how many are rejoicing and glad in it? Like the old preacher says, aren't you glad to be here than the best hospital in town? That's so old. Anyway, we're going to look to Jesus. Because now's the time to worship. Natalie, Olivia, this is a first, guys. This is the first time that the family has sung together. And I am so happy and so excited. Would you put your hands together and just welcome the Lord in this place? Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now
is the time to worship. It's a time to give your heart. Come,
just as you are.
Just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
One day
every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time. You now. just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
Lord, we come to you right now.
Come.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord,
Father.
Lord, we come to you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you, Lord, thank God, you, that this is your day. And we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Thank you, Lord. This is our prayer this morning. Open the eyes of my heart,
of my heart, I want to see you.
Yes, Lord,
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Yes, amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up.
To see you. Sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy,
holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Just close your eyes and sing holy, holy to Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy.
Lord, you're
holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
See you high and lifted.
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power. As we sing holy, holy, holy.
Let's lift our hands, okay?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Lord, you are so holy.
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Worship, here I am to bow down. Here
Help me know you are near.
our prayer today.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. It's near you say that I'm your friend.
Yes, oh Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
You are my desire. No one else will do.
No one else will do.
'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Take me back to you.
Come on, friends, let's lift our hands and sing this together. You're all I want.
You're all I want. You're all I ever need.
Lord, we praise you.
Jesus,
thank you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Pastor or Nathan.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Wow, I know this is incredibly selfish, but in all honesty, I don't want to come up here. I want to keep worshiping. Just being honest. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And I love him. And I know you guys are here because you do as well. All right. Well, we've got a few things to go over and a little bit of communion time. Thank you. A little bit higher, buddy, if you don't mind. Thanks. I'd love it. A little high. Thanks, bud. Perfecto. You are the man. All right, couple quick announcements, and then we'll jump right into the word. All right. Okay, so a few quick things. We've got so much bread. I literally have like five big bags of bread back there that you have to take home with you. Loaves and just tons of stuff. Please, bagels. We've got bags of bagels. Take it free in Jesus' name. We want to feed your bellies and, more importantly, feed your soul. Okay? Other quick things here. You guys know the tithes and offerings. We don't take one up. We don't want anybody to give out of guilt or compulsion, but you should give. And there's a little place to do that in the back in a little bird box. And we receive the tithes and offerings back there. We give that in Jesus' name. Seeker Keeper Girl is coming to our area, to the Bradenton Church of the Nazarene. Tickets are $26, February 27th. Talk about that more next month. But if anybody wants to lead up a little troop of girls, and I think it's usually from like, 6 to 12, something like that, 6 to 13. It'd be a great thing to go to, especially as a mother-daughter thing. Skip some of these things because I want to get right into the Word. I know that we also have communion today. And so prayer meetings, you know, Sunday mornings, Wednesday, I didn't see Josh and Amanda here, so Wednesday, youth Bible study. I know they've got some stuff coming up that they're going to want to talk about. I didn't see them this morning. They're probably sick like so many of us. Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. We just did 1 Kings last week. This week is Mark or Hosea? Hosea. Okay. I see that you are also feeding your belly, Uncle Tom, and also feeding your soul. Hey, we're family here, okay? That's just what you... Okay. All right, so keep praying for all these newly baptized folks. We do have more people who want to get baptized, so we'll either be doing that next month or the month after. Again, if you really want to get baptized now, and if you're just feeling a strong conviction from the Lord, Flo is offered up. I know she has actually a heated pool, and so... But even if you want to do it publicly at the beach, we'll be there for you, okay? We'll support you. But we will have another prayer session. Again, when we're speaking, remember, if you guys are speaking today, hold the mic up to your mouth, just like Mr. Nate told us. And let's get into the Word. We go verse by verse through the Bible. We are in the book of Colossians. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Colossians, the substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. We are zooming right along chapter 3. Warp factor 9. Not really. Colossians chapter 3, this is not our home. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and Chris is already on the job. Good for you. Boy, you guys, this place is just fantastic. Okay, so we're talking about the resurrected life, how we're supposed to put off, just like the old dirty, stinky garments, our sinful selves, those things that are not honoring to the Lord, and put on the things that are. We already talked about that throughout Colossians. We're down to the section that talks about the family, Colossians 3, 18 to 21. I think we've been covering like a verse or two a day, which is frustrating to your pastor. But we are very thankful that the Lord's just putting so much neat stuff on our hearts. Okay, the family playbook. And again, if you want to have a real Christian family and operate and to honor and serve the Lord, it starts with Christ. It starts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the basis and the substance of everything. If you don't put him first, you're not going to have the godly family that you want or need or deserve. You're not going to be the godly dad that you want to be. You're not going to be the godly mom that you want to be. You're not going to be the godly kid or the godly owner or manager of the business or the godly worker or whatever. Everything starts and ends with the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, okay? And so as we're going through these verses, Colossians 3, 18 to 21. We're not going to go over it again. We talked about submission, and again, we submit as is fitting to the Lord. And when our focus is on the Lord, not on the husbands, not on the wives, but on the Lord. We talked about husbands loving, agape-ing your wives, okay? Expecting nothing in return, not to be bitter with them, not to be harsh with them, Colossians 3, 19. We talked about children obeying your parents in some things. No, we didn't. We said, children, obey your parents in everything. And here's the motive behind it. Not because of any other reason other than it pleases the Lord. He's your God, personally. Right? You want to do what you do to please the Lord. Okay? We talked about, in Colossians, rebellion. If God wants to teach us to obey and submit to those in authority over us, our parents or whatever, because he wants us to learn to submit to his authority. And that rebellion that you left unchecked as a kid is going to grow into something terrible. And the Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. Now, it doesn't say being steadfast is bad, right? It says that stubbornness, that rebellion. Well, I don't need to do anything. Listen, I have watched many, many young women and young men, and if you leave this unchecked, right, in your heart or in your kids, you're going to grow up. I've watched them grow up, and you're going to have big man babies that if they don't get their way, they're going to stomp around. They're going to leave, don't need to leave. And you're going to have big woman, I don't know what's a cool word for that, man babies. And somebody has to think of something. You're going to have women, big women, spoiled brats that if they don't get their way, they're going to pout, throw a little temper tantrum. You're going to see this in a big 50, 60-year-old woman. Or you're going to see this in a 50-year-old man, 60-year-old man. You've got to get it in check now, right now. Okay? Now, it's not saying don't be strong or be steadfast. That's different than being rebellious and stubborn. Does that make sense? Okay? All right, I'm going to go through some of these. There's different stages of parenting. We talked about that, you know, when they're young, you're the commander, then you're the coach, the counselor, and finally, as they leave the nest, you're a consultant. But we don't have time to go through that. We also talked about fathers. Don't embitter, don't stir up, don't provoke your children to be angry and hate and bitter, or they'll become discouraged. Okay? And then we talked about, just started on this, and I wanted to give you just, I wanted to give you a dozen eggs, okay? A dozen things that are just helpful parenting tips, okay? And again, who am I? Nobody, okay? I'm just a servant of the Lord. I've just seen a lot over many years and dealt with a lot of parents, a lot of families, worked in a ministry with 110 families that I was in charge of. So you got to see kids going little to bigger, and you learned a lot. So I certainly am not the perfect parent, so don't think that I am. You can ask my kids. I'd be happy to tell you. But I also have learned a lot, and so it's because the Lord has taught me a lot, and he's taught me a lot through his word. And so listen, even if you're not a parent or grandparent, listen to this, because are we not all God's children who are born again? Okay, then there's stuff here for everybody, because we're all, because it's coming from God's word. All right, so here's a couple things that we can go over and that we're going to talk about. First, I mentioned it just for a second. This slogan up here was from the Peace Corps, and I loved it. And it said, the toughest job you'll ever love. And apparently, the person who wrote that from the Peace Corps was never a parent, because that's the toughest job you'll ever love. And sometimes it's just the toughest job. But if you're a Christian, you do it, and you do it as best as you can to honor the Lord. Okay? Now, here's the first thing in our dozen, our basket of eggs. The first thing is, listen, don't walk in condemnation as a parent. Okay? Listen, again, we mentioned this last week, but we're all sinners, right? From the shoot. You know what I'm saying? Every one of us. Is there anyone here that doesn't sin? Please raise your hand. I would love to meet you. I'd love to get some advice from you. We're all sinners. As Elaine, and then you're going to get, I'm going to rebuke you. But here's the deal. We all make mistakes, right? So don't be thinking that Natalie is the perfect parent, because she's not. Well, she may be a godly parent, but she's not perfect. Don't be thinking I'm the perfect parent, or Sue Berger is the perfect parent, or anyone else in here. Because we can always look thinking everybody else has it all together. Can I just tell you, we don't. But we have learned many things from the Lord and his word, right? And we've come a long way. If it wasn't for the Lord, I don't even want to tell you what kind of parent I'd be. I'd be too embarrassed and ashamed. I wouldn't be a parent, but anyway, not in the way we're thinking of. And so God does amazing things, but don't think that we have it all together, right? We have to rely on the Lord, right? All right? So the first thing is, don't walk in condemnation. You're going to make mistakes. Also, can I just say, your children are going to make mistakes. Listen, we talked about this last week. We can get that so much. The Lord wants to convict you, parents, of things you're doing wrong, okay? That's a good thing. The conviction is there that God is using it to show you what to put off in your life and what to put on in your life, right? Okay? The enemy wants to take that conviction and turn it into condemnation. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore... Does it say some condemnation? How much condemnation? No, come on, say it. How much condemnation? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you don't let the enemy wants to jump on you with his cleats and tell you what a loser parent you are and remind you of everything you ever did wrong so that you can't function as a person, okay? That's not what God has for you. He's come to give you life and give you abundantly. So take the conviction, throw out the condemnation in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? And remember, in the garden, in Genesis, right? Our Father, right? He's the perfect parent, isn't he? You have the perfect environment. Only one rule, don't eat from the tree of the garden. One rule in this, right? It's absolutely perfect. You have the perfect parent who knows just how to say the word. Pastor Darren, I don't know the word enough. Or I don't know how to apply it. Or I don't know how to tell my kids. And I don't know how to do it. You have the perfect dad that knows the word. He is the word. Right? Mm-hmm. He knows how to communicate it. He knows how to apply it. He knows everything. And what happened to those kids? They broke the rules anyway. So don't live in that loser parent condemnation mentality. Does that make sense? Can we have a microphone for Sue Berger? I don't know who's in charge of the microphone today or if anybody has it. But if you'd bring that to Sue Berger, we would really appreciate it. We'd like for her to see. And I don't know what it is with the mic, but we have to use the mic now.
I was just thinking that it's always good to understand the difference between condemnation and conviction.
Yes.
And that's that conviction, when you are under conviction, God is telling you in your heart what is wrong. Like, the way you spoke to your child using those words, you know, was wrong. You should be. And then you have a strong sense of what is right. You
yes.
should have been tender and thoughtful. Yes. Very, it's specific.
Exactly.
Condemnation is general.
Right.
You're a jerk.
A loser. You're a loser.
You're a loser. Yes. You'll never get this.
Yeah, don't try. Give up.
You're pitiful.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's good to understand that when we're talking along these lines, because a lot of times it's not clear.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, good word. And that is absolutely true. All right. Somebody else? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Sin separates us from God.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's no connection. When you sin, you're separated from God.
Yes, it's separating. Yeah, that sin does separate you from God.
It goes all the way back.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, His power.
It's bigger
than
that.
Gives us, delivers us, and can keep us from this sinful nature.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's a good word. And you know what? Honestly, and it can too in your parenting. So when you are feeling that way, you go to the Lord. You ask Him to forgive you, right? You correct that behavior, whatever it is, you know. And I think of the regardless of our failures and things like that, we can trust the Lord and persevere in our parenting, and we can hold on to the promises He has, because He says this in Galatians 6:9. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So the enemy just wants you to give up. Now, whether you've got a parent of a 4-year-old or a 40-year-old, I was going to say, or a 400-year-old, but you know what I'm trying to say, you just don't give up. Amen? All right, here's the second thing in our basket of eggs, all right? The second thing is avoid extreme parenting. Avoid extreme parenting. And kind of here's what I mean. There's like, sometimes as Christians, you know, we want to go to extremes, or depending on our background, you know what I mean, what we've come from. Like, let's say we've come from an abusive relationship, or we've had stuff done to us. You know, one extreme will have this, okay? This is what I like to call helicopter parenting, okay? Now listen, if you don't know, if you're not familiar with that term is, that means you are just around your kids 24/7 because they might make a mistake, something might happen. Anything needs, mommy is going to be right there. Oh, I know you're a teenager and you're trying to look cool. It doesn't matter. Dad's going to be right there.
This is getting awkward.
Yeah. And you know what? The older they get, it does get awkward. Now listen, we don't live in the same time that people that are young like me, we don't live in the same time period as now. So it is definitely less safe. It is less secure. So if you have to err, I understand. You want to protect your kids. If we err more on this side. But what I'm saying is, if you continue this as they grow, right, it becomes awkward. They have to learn some of these things and make mistakes. So you let them, I wish Josh and Amanda were here. They're probably out sick. I talked to them. I know they were going to be here. But, for example, on Thursday nights, on Wednesday nights, the youth, I come and I talk to the teens. I have fun with them. and then I come and pick them up. I used to stay all the time, but now I want them to have a little bit of freedom here. I know Josh, I know Amanda, I know he loves the Lord, I know the teaching's solid, I know Amanda loves the Lord. I want to give them a little bit, start more and more freedom and stuff like that. You're going to smother them, and you're going to make them very dependent, because the real world is not going to be like this. Is that true? So you can't be this as they grow. Now, so that's one extreme, the helicopter parent, where they're right there for absolutely everything, to solve every problem. God bless you. Okay, the other extreme, oh, this is acute. You know, at some point we have to stop swaddling him, right? The big teenager, okay? You want to help your kids to grow. Isn't that true? Okay, now here's the other one. Permissive parenting, okay? And this is what I mean. I've actually talked with parents that do this, and I get really frustrated, so I try to be super patient. And of course, I always get in trouble because I have to open my mouth and tell them, this is dumb. This is a bad idea. If you don't want truth here or from me, don't ever ask me, because I'm going to give it to you. And I don't even want to sometimes, but I feel like there's this compulsion in me where I feel like the Lord, please speak it. And so permissive parenting, and it kind of goes like this. I want to expose my child to the world so that they know what to expect from this world. And so I'm going to introduce them to some of these things and let them experience it at a young age. Now, obviously, I picked this because no one would ever, well, anyway, you know, hopefully no one would ever do. But they want to let their kids experience the things of the world, okay, at a very young age. Okay, I'm going to let them date super early. I'm going to let them, no, I have never ever in all my years, I have never seen this work out well. I just want to be honest with you. Here's what I've seen happen. And again, this is over many years, okay? Usually the parents who do this, the kids are a little bit cooler, and they do know more about the world stuff when they're younger, okay? But I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you, as they grow older, they don't know the Lord more. In fact, what happens is the world sucks them in to their way of thinking. With this parenting, and I've argued with people till I'm blue in the face. I have never even one time, and there might be that one exception, like, that I'm not thinking of, okay? You know, my grandma smoked 8 packs of cigarettes a day, and she lived till she's 90. Okay, that's, you know, I never wore my seatbelt, and I lived through the accident. Well, okay, but that's dumb. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't even know one child that is close to the Lord that the parents have tried to instill this type of parenting in them. And so listen, God can do anything, okay? He's bigger than that. But certainly as a parent, you don't send them down that road. They don't need more of the world in them. They need more of Jesus, his heart, his word, his spirit. That's what he needs. That's what you need. That's what I need. Okay? Yes, I saw a hand up. If somebody could bring the microphone to. Okay. You what?
My childhood.
In fact, that is a picture of Tim right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a picture like this. Yeah.
You got it. No.
Yeah. Preparing you. Right. Yes. Yeah. You know what? Thank you for sharing that, buddy. You know, but God is so much bigger than even that. But don't set your kids down there. So avoid the extremes. The helicopter parent, you're going to have the socially awkward kids who don't even know how to handle things or do things. And don't do the other where you're, you know, exposing them to too much of the world, because it's going to go badly. Okay. So that's second in our basket of eggs. The next thing is, I want to encourage you guys, don't always, as parents, don't always minimize or remove consequences of discipline for your children. Don't always. Now listen, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not talking about being a Gestapo parent. Do you know what I mean? You will do this now, every time, and if you don't do it perfectly. You know, I'm not talking about that. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's the German in me. She got the Italian with the hands and the German with the... But, you know, this is kind of like the Achilles heels of a lot of Christian parents. And again, I'm not saying don't be merciful. I was last night with a situation. So I'm not saying don't be merciful. But God uses consequences in our lives, okay? And so... if we're always minimizing or removing these consequences of our children's sin, we can all but assure the bad behavior is going to continue, and it's actually going to grow worse in their actions and, more importantly, in their hearts. Now, this quote-unquote loving act of parenting, if you're always minimizing the consequences or the discipline, you know, where you're like, you're not doing that heaven for the weekend. Oh, I feel, well, it's okay, honey. You get home, and, oh, it's okay. Don't worry. Just go do it. Now, if you're always doing that and minimizing or taking away those consequences for your kids, if you're always just, if that's a normal thing. Now, immediately, as a parent, can I just be honest? That makes you feel a little bit better. You get to feel like you're the good guy. And, of course, your kids are all but happy, right? So they're happy, you're happy, and as a parent, job done. But what are you teaching them? What am I teaching them? You're teaching them there's no real consequences when you don't obey, when you don't submit to authority. Sooner or later, you know what? They're in jail. They're going to be taught to submit to the teachers that they have, to their bosses that they have, to the government that they have, and you're, to the pastors, to the whatever, and you're going to teach them, they don't need to do that. Or what about consequences at their job? We've got a whole generation that thinks they can do whatever they want at their job because it all revolves around them. Hello? What a reality check. What are we setting up our kids for? We're also teaching them that God doesn't have consequences. Right? We're supposed to be as... It says, children, obey your parents and everything. We're to teach them that. So if we teach them there's no real consequences, you can get away and do whatever they want and not hold them to it. Now, when we hold them to it, it's harder for us, isn't it? It's painful for us, more painful than for the kids. But if we don't hold them to that, you're setting them up for failure. You know, I even think about this. This is a... Jesus said, he who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. We've got whole churches filled with people that they can sing and sing to the Lord and think they can live however they want. And the Bible in 1 John says that they're a liar. And that's what we have. If that's the case, then you need to get on your face before the Lord and repent. Good, and I love that. And I'm just telling you, in Jesus' name, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to worship in spirit and truth. Now is the time to repent and turn around. And it's the same thing with your parent. Listen to this. You don't see this on bumper stickers. I want to be a seeker-friendly church, so we don't want to tell them consequences, sin. Listen, there's a heaven and a hell. Oh, but Jesus loves me, so he's going to let me. Listen, this is 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He will punish those who do not know God personally and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let's put that on a bumper sticker. There's consequences here, my friends, and we have to teach them. We're supposed to be teaching that. Yeah, think about this. In the illustration I used earlier, do you remember in Genesis? Okay. Remember back in Genesis where I talked about the loser parent and they broke? Okay. And so when they did the one rule broke that their heavenly father told them not to do, what happened? Their heavenly father said, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You sinned. Move on. Is that what he did?
No.
No? Don't tell me God had consequences. my loving Father? See, the consequences are because He loves us. Does that make sense? Right. You remember what happened? They were kicked out of the garden. Now, He still loved them. He covered them, but He kicked them out of the garden. So God understood that consequences, in part, He uses to teach us lessons. And I wrote this down, and this is, you know, and I don't even know if I can say this, but our children will equate the value of disobedience to the weight we as parents put on the offense. Does that make sense? So if, you know what, if lying's no big deal in your house, stealing's no big deal in your house, blaspheming the Lord's no big deal in your house? Oh, okay, well, I guess it's just no big deal, period. God's no big deal in your house? Just hear me out for just a second. I'm convinced we miss out on a lot of instruction when we try to minimize God's consequences. We never really learn our lesson. You know, Proverbs 3:11 says this, 11 and 12. He says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke." Listen to this, and this will drive some Christians crazy. The Lord doesn't never discipline me. He loves me. He loves you because he's disciplining you because He loves you. It says, "Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in." Does that make sense? He disciplines you, me, because He loves us. It's a part of what He uses. And don't rob your children of learning those sometimes painful lessons. It's in Hebrews 12, roughly 6 to 10. He says this, "The Lord disciplines those He loves. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate and not true sons and daughters at all." Wow, that's a doozy. And he says, "Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for us. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us," it goes on to say, "for our own good. That we may share in His holiness," is what it says. Now, here's one thing to think about. I see a couple hands raised. But our Father's love for us isn't supposed to be a pampering love like everybody's making it out to be. It's supposed to be a perfecting love. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your Father, your Heavenly Father, loves you. I was going to say loves the snot out of you, but you know what I'm saying, right? But He's not trying to pamper you. He's trying to perfect you. That is a true loving Father. And that's what He's trying to do. So how much more should we as parents have that in mind for our children? The perfecting, not the pampering, right? That's selfless, not selfish. If I'm selfish, well, just go take care of that, whatever. You don't have to worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's easier for me. I don't want to put up with the hassle, right? But is that really what's best for them? No. You guys know it. You know what I'm saying is right because you know that the word is right. All right, would you bring the mic over there? I've seen some hands up. So whoever has had their hands up, we're gonna get to you.
You know, when Adam and Eve fell and God made them leave the garden, there were consequences for God the Father.
Yeah.
And those consequences were paid at the cross. He knew that He was going to have to pay a price, which was the death of His Son, to reestablish relationship with all of us. So if we think, well, you know, He doesn't care, he doesn't love me or whatever, He loved us so much that he decided that he was also going to suffer the consequences through the death of his son, because he knew he had the power to raise him back from the dead and raise us from the dead along with Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, over here.
So for all of you moms that have little ones or any children at all, this may sound heartless, but I literally have to base my parenting, and when I spank my children or I enforce a consequence, I cannot base it on the way I feel.
No.
Can't. Because I want to be tenderhearted and compassionate, and I don't want to make them cry, and they're going to think mom hates them. I've actually had my four-year-old say, "You hate me," you know, because I spanked him for disobeying.
Yeah.
And then I had to turn around and say, no, the scripture says, I hate you if I don't discipline you. Mm. And you don't understand now, but I'm obeying the Lord, and you need to obey mommy. And it's something I think we, moms and dads, need to not discipline based on how we feel.
Oh, yeah.
We need to shut off our feelings just for the temporary and say, okay, Lord, you know, let me do this right. Yes. Not based on my whim of if I'm very angry or if I'm feeling compassionate today. Because your feelings, we can't be led by our feelings, you know.
We have to be led by the
Lord. For me, that's been very hard sometimes. Yes. Just to say, Lord, I'm going to base it on what you said in your word and not on how I'm feeling today.
Right. Sometimes I just feel lazy. You know what? Sometimes I just don't want to deal with it. And sometimes I'm just being honest. I just want to, like, you know, sometimes, you know, like, it's terrible. I'm an active parent, okay? But sometimes I just, like, shut the door. Maybe mom will take care of that one. But that's not really, you know what I'm saying? But that's not really the right heart attitude to have. And in fact, all the more because I'm the dad do I need to be involved in this. All the more because I'm the dad. Now here's the easier it is later. I was going to ask, you can ask both Hezekiah and Elijah. Hezekiah's out sick too with my wife and half the church. But you can ask Elijah privately if you want, and Hezekiah, if they're thankful now. Okay, now that obviously they're too big for me to spank them anymore. But and they're, you know, and we do other disciplines. We do loss of privileges, isolation. But ask them if they, now they didn't like it when they were getting spanked or they were getting disciplined, however it was. They don't like it. What kid likes discipline? I don't like the discipline. But is it for their perfection? Is it for their good, right? If it is, then it needs to stay. And I want to tell you something. If you ask the older boys, don't ask the younger ones yet, but if you ask the older boys if they're actually thankful that I disciplined them and thankful that I spanked them, without even hesitation, I know that they would say, yes, we didn't like it when it was happening, but we're so grateful that you did it now. And if you didn't do it, we would know you didn't really love us if you didn't discipline us. Okay, a couple more hands. Yes, honey. Yes, ma'am.
Does this work?
You did great.
After I became a Christian in 1977, I was 29 years old, and now I'm 70. And at 29, the Lord brought a picture into my mind, and it was my grandmother and my mother taking me to a shop in Marion, Indiana, and buying me a dress. And to make a long story short, it's never short with me, though, is that when I saw the dress I wanted, I threw a tantrum. I had never been disciplined up till this age. I had been humiliated and tried to be embarrassed in front of people, but I was getting hard to that, so that didn't matter anymore. I just continued being that way. If I didn't get my way, it would be a tantrum. And that way I would embarrass my parents. And finally, I was going out of the door screaming and screaming that they didn't buy me that dress. So now we go back to 1977, and I was sitting on my lanai, and God said, I want you to remember this. And I started seeing how I was raised. And when we got back to my grandmother's that day after the shopping spree, they gave me a box. And guess what was in it? The dress that I wanted. And at that very moment, I knew I had control over my parents, my grandparents, my brothers, my sisters, anyone I wanted. And God was preparing me to be the mother that he wanted me to be to my children. By that example. And I love the subject of discipline because my husband and I, at the time, God gave us such nuggets in disciplining and opened our eyes to how important it was. And I don't know why I'm sharing this, really. Maybe someone in here just is like me or needs it or something. But I'm telling you, I felt like I was a great mother, as good as I could be, because of God.
Yes.
I could never have done it all on my own.
Amen.
He gave me such a desire because I did not want my children to end up going through the beginning of their adult life like I did, because I had to find my own help, my own counseling, everything, alone pretty much. Anyway,
thank you.
I just thank Jesus.
Job. Thank you for sharing that. Amen. Amen. You know, here's another thing that's kind of lost. And we're going to talk more about discipline and spank, so don't panic. And even some of those things we have in our heads of what the world says is discipline and spanking, we're going to get rest of these things, and what God says it is, are way different. They're different in how we do it. They're different in their goals. They're way different. So we're going to talk about some of those. Apparently, probably next week. But we're going to go through a few more, all right? The next thing is encouragement. Listen, if you're a Christian parent, you know, we need to be encouraging our kids, right? Think about it. Think about in your mind right now. Do you have somebody, think about somebody in your life that encourages you when they see you on a regular basis? Don't you hold them in high esteem? Aren't you thankful for them? Have you ever watched somebody encourage your kids? Maybe it was a pastor, or maybe it was a teacher, or maybe it was a friend, or maybe it was a family member. They specifically encourage them. Don't you think, oh my God, thank you for them. Thank you. How much more should we not be instilling that in our kids? As a Christian, sometimes we have a lot of expectations on our kids, right? Because we so want them to seek the Lord and follow the Lord. Sometimes a little thing like encouragement can get lost in a sea of expectations, right? Encourage one another. I saw people taking pictures of the slide. If you guys go on Facebook, Home Fellowship Church has a Facebook page. And what we're going to start doing, Neely is going to do this, which is really cool. We're going to start sending out some of these slides that we make up with scriptures on it. And so I see people taking pictures, and you're welcome to do that. But just so you know, if you're on Facebook, homefellowshipchurch.com, we're starting to send these out during the week, these little tiles. And so thank you, Neely, for doing that. But 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up just as you're doing. So you can rebuke and correct and discipline and speak truth. We have to do those things. But don't forget the encouragement part, or you're going to feel like all I ever do is wrong. You can have the discipline and the correction, but you also have to have the encouragement in there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Encourage one another, building just as you are doing. I remember what this next one. And Paul said this in Colossians earlier in 2:2, back about 8 months ago. This was Paul's goal. This is what he said. This is my goal as I'm writing, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. That's my goal. That's one of my goals for you. I want you to love the Lord and know the truth, but I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who's truthful with you, loves you enough to correct you and steer you and help you. That's amazing. He wants to know you and to be known by you. To me, that is just incredible. Let your child know that he or she can always count on you to be their encourager. You know, to like a light shining for Christ in their lives. Let them know that. You know, there's another one, Proverbs 3:27. I'll pop that one up here too. You know, it says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Proverbs 3:27, whatever is in your power to do it. So listen, you can encourage one another. Take the time, and I would say make the time. And here are some things. Chris, you can hand these out to the adults if you would. Here's some little encouragement tips from me. If you want to know what to do, verbal encouragement examples, give them to all the adults if you want, if you would. But here are some things as he's handing them out. Praise your child when he or she takes the initiative to demonstrate a godly act of selflessness or kindness or servitude or attitudes of respect or obedience. Praise them for it. Encourage them in it, especially in the godly things. Isn't that fantastic? You know, how about give specific praise for childlike behavior. No, don't do that. Give them specific praise for Christ-like behavior. No matter how small it is. Oh, I think that's just fantastic that you shared with your brother. Oh, I think that's what Jesus would. You're serving just like Jesus. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many. Are you raising your hand, sweet pea? I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
To go back to encouraging one another.
Yes.
When we went to Colorado, I did not want to go down a slope, and my dad kept on saying, you can do this, just believe in me. Yes. And I believed in him, and I did do it.
Yes.
I accomplished it.
That's awesome. That's great. I think your dad has that gift of encouragement. But how much can we all encourage one another? How wonderful is that? Sometimes I just need to hear, you know what? Because I hear the enemy saying, oh, you're a poopy parent. You're a poopy pastor. You're a poopy teacher. Well, how wonderful it is. Man, I can't tell you what God's doing when you're teaching the word, or I'm crying, God is doing this. Oh, well, thank you for being such a... People just sometimes will text me the most encouraging things. And it's wonderful, and I need to hear it because I've got everybody else, you know, get the 50 calibers, you know? How much we need that. You know, how about you just hug your children and just tell them you love them for no reason at all, your grandkids. How about your friends? You come into our church. I scare people, but I'm going to give you a hug. So glad you're here. I'm thankful you're here. How about give praise face to face? You know what you can do for your kids? Well, I got to do this now to some of my kids, but you go down on one knee and you look them in the eye and you praise them. I'm so thankful for you. I love you. I see what God's doing in your life, and I want to encourage you to go in that direction. Now, don't ever lie to them. Don't tell them some. I won't even tell that story. But I know some people or some parents, oh, I just tell my kid whatever they want to hear, and it encourages them. Don't do that. Don't lie to them. But look for ways to encourage. The whole world is going to discourage you. So I'm telling you, God's telling you, purposely look for ways to encourage one another. Amen. Make a point to recognize your child's efforts, lest you extinguish a good effort without acknowledging it. If it's true, say something like, you know, I'm proud of you. I long to hear that, you know, how your kids may be. I'm so proud of you. What a great job, you know. Just those little things. Man, you really took God's word to heart. I saw it in your actions. Man, I can see you're really growing in your relationship with the Lord. Man, I know you can do this with God's help. I'm praying for you. As much as possible, encourage them and bring them back to Christ's heart and his word. You know, like Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up as meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us, what? Encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't that true? Man, I've got a lot more. We have communion too. Lord. Okay. Sorry. For those of you just sitting here, what I'm really doing is I'm praying. I'm trying to stall for time while I'm praying, trying to hear from the Lord if he wants me to continue with a few more or hand it over for communion. I am going to stop right here. We've got a lot more of eggs in those baskets. Okay, and I'm going to ask you, okay, if you've heard something here today that's offended you, that is not our heart intent. Okay, I don't want anybody leaving condemned. And again, we're going to deal with some of these issues, you know, pride, laziness, physical discipline, how we do these things in a loving way, because the world twists everything. And we never want to imitate the world. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to talk, there's a lot of things that we still have to cover in our little basket of dozen eggs. But since we have communion today, we're going to ask Gary to come up here. And we're going to have a time to reflect upon the Lord. And Gary's going to share with us for a few minutes. And then what we're going to do is we'll come back next week and we'll finish this teaching out. And so, Gary, would you come up and lead us maybe in a time of communion and whatever the Lord put on your heart?
Chris, could I have some light? Make it a little easier for these old eyes. Would you join me in Luke chapter 22? Luke chapter 22. And we'll begin with verse 14. Okay, I'm sorry. Luke 22:14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I've eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We read this passage, or one of the other gospel passages, just about every time we have communion. And one thing that strikes me, at least the Lord was I think, talking to me, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And what does that mean? What does he want us to remember? And he mentions it specifically after talking about the sacrifice of his body in that, because he is the Passover lamb. And I think he wants us to remember the crucifixion and the resurrection. But I also think that he wants us to remember it not just when we take communion this morning in that. Because what did the crucifixion and resurrection, what did that bring to us? What did that give to us? Right? It gave us, we are a new creation, right? We are a new creation in Christ. It isn't like I'm an old sinner and I've just put on Christian clothes. I'm a new creation. I need to live a new life, right? It made us heirs of the kingdom of God, right? Not in just in eternity, thankfully for that, obviously, but also it's supposed to make a difference in how my life is lived today. Right? Now, recently, I was listening to a teaching And it's on a passage that we all know, the Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And he pointed out that, you know, it's easy for us to hear that in church, right? The pastor has us all, you know, all revved up, and it's like, yeah, you know, all things work together for good, right? Real easy for us to believe that when things are going well. A real test of our faith is, do we believe that when things are not going so well? You want to know how to test that. Ask yourself, where do you go when things aren't going so well? When you've had a fight with your spouse, right? Your child is struggling with being bullied at school. You've lost a job. You're dealing with an addiction, right? Do you go to Dr. Phil? Or do you go to Dr. Jesus, King Jesus? Where do you go? That's how you test. But I think it's not only in when our times are hard. It's when times are good as well. And there's Betty back there. Betty, I'm going to use you as an example, and I'm going to embarrass you, and you'll need to forgive me. Thursday night at dinner, Betty came in, and she told me she was so excited about something, right, that she was driving down the highway, right? She had her windows down. She was at a stoplight, right, praising the Lord for this good news. I guess the car next to her looked and goes, what is this weirdo doing? And we all know Betty's not a weirdo, but she was just praising the Lord. And she told this person, well, I'm thanking God for something good in my life. The woman's response was, praise the Lord, right? We're supposed to be close to the Lord in good times as well. What is it, 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray continually, right? And that, I think that means that the Lord wants to be part of my life, every minute of my life. You know, the phrase now is 24/7, right? Yeah, not only 24/7, but every 60 seconds within those minutes. And that, turn with me just for a moment to Hebrews 12. It's interesting, Pastor had us a few verses down earlier. Beginning with verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And think about that. The key phrase to me is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus was authoring our faith here at communion. He was authoring our faith. He perfected it at the cross and the resurrection. It's interesting, if you go back to Luke 22, and I should have told you to stick a finger there. You don't need to go. I'll just read. All right. Shortly after, this is beginning with verse 24. Also a dispute rose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Right? I get such a kick out of this. The disciples are such knuckleheads. Here, Jesus has just talked to them, right? Showed them to be a servant, right? Even washed the apostles' feet. And they're arguing who's going to be the biggest shot, right? But I wonder, and I'm preaching to myself here, and if it happens to touch you, so much the better. In that, I don't want to walk away from here, right, having the message of communion, what Jesus gave the disciples, and be thinking about where my rank is. What I need to be walking away with is the message, how close am I to Jesus? You know, is he influencing every decision I make, every breath I take, and that is his presence continually with me. Am I carrying that with me as I go out into the world? And that fascinating. Pastor asked us to pass out these today, and Chris helped. If you didn't get one, they're on the first table here, and that grab one. It's interesting that, and I looked at it last night, and that was after the Lord told me what he wanted me to share for the communion. And it talks about the Lord being with you, in times of troubles. And that there's a message here. There's no coincidences. The Lord didn't have Pastor Darren want us to pass this out today. So, you know, guys, you can start passing out the elements. And that what I'd like us to do is you get ready to take communion. Think about, are there areas of your life that maybe you have, the Lord's told you that he wants to be part of, and you haven't really let him in? All right, are there those areas? And if you know it, now's the time to change that. Now's the time to turn those areas over to him. Or if you don't know of any areas like that in your life, take this time to ask the Lord what area he does want to touch you in. And that, take a few moments, pray, and then take the elements whenever you're ready. I don't know exactly what the Lord did with you. He had a bullseye on my heart. I hope he did the same for you. Let me close this in prayer, if that's all right. Father God, we thank you for your presence among us, Lord. Your word says that you will never leave us or forsake us, that we're in the crook, the palm of your hand, and that no one and no thing can take us from your grasp, Lord. We are so grateful for that. Father, I ask that we would be aware of your presence this day and the rest of the week, Lord, the rest of our lives, Father. And please let us always turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus, and in good times and bad, share every moment of our lives with you, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much. In the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. And I want to thank Family Weaver for their introductory performance today, or worship time. Thank you so much. And my prayer is that we get to do this again.
Amen. This is a starting of a new season. And I've done music my whole life. Grew up in the church. Dad was music and everything, played music, played different churches and stuff. And since we moved up to Tennessee 5 years ago, I've been in a different season, and I haven't played and I haven't sung, and I missed it so bad. My relationship with the Lord was stayed, you know, strong. And I had no idea when Nathan said, "Mom, will you lead praise and worship today?" I said, "Sure," you know. And I don't consider myself a soloist or a strong singer. But when we came in this morning, my granddaughters were here. And they've been going to a school, and they've been learning singing and stuff like this. And this was the first time that we ever sang together as a family. And so I want to thank this church and the love that we felt and God's presence, because it was just a blessing to join together, you know, with our family, because it's what we do, you know. And I feel like the music of my parents and the love of my parents and is continuing on, and it's a generation. And then to have Jerry with us, Erica's mommy, it's just a really special, special day. And, you know, that Bible verse, it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what we want to do. We're after our children's heart. It's not just, you know, performance. It's after their heart. That's the bottom line. May my children always be taught of the Lord, and may they always, always, me too, have a heart after you. And it, you know, it doesn't matter what we go through, up, down, in between. Anyway, thanks.
Don't forget to take some bread home. Give it to a neighbor in Jesus' name.